Two, we have to do now the Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam. Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro. The Gro had a son. We never learned this stuff. The Rambam had a son whose name was Avraham, and the Gro had a son whose name was Avraham. So let's see what it says here. Nachum Perek Aleph, we're up to Pasuk Gimel. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. We're going to do over here, Beor Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro. And then, that's the last thing, and then I think we're done. Then we're going to go into Pasuk Dalet. Okay, so page 540. Hashem Erech Apayim Ugedol Koyach V'nakeh Lo Yinakeh Hashem B'sufa Uvisara Darkoy V'anon Avak Raglav. B'Pasuk Zemater Sifei Kusoy Sheiniach b'pasuk rishon. This pasuk he puts to rest his doubt that was presented in the first pasuk. U'pasach b'may disiyem, and he begins in this pasuk with what he concluded. What does he mean? Mashu noiter lo ivav hu mibneishu erech apayim. What is this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient? Why does Hashem noiter? Does he guard his enmity for his enemies? It's because he is patient. Being that Hashem has the ability to be patient, that's why he delays. The reason why Hashem punishes is not because Hashem lacks the ability to withhold himself. It's because they deserve it. In other words, Hashem has this thing that we take for granted. But if you go and study ancient religions and ancient gods, this is something which the ancients could not accept. That Hashem has balance. Hashem has both extremes, and yet is able to find a balance and can decide when he wants to go to fluctuate, to go to one extreme or the other. In other words, in ancient times, they would tell you there's a God of patience, and his patience is infinite. He'll never punish. And then there's a God that is vengeful, will punish in an instant. To say that there's one God, sometimes he's patient and sometimes he punishes instantaneously and it depends on the situation, that was something that the Umos HaOlam were not able to wrap their mind around. We always say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's the significance of Echad? One. Because in life, there are extreme opposites. That's the way Hashem made the world. And the Goyim, they believe there cannot possibly be a God, a being, the ultimate being, can have both. Everything has to be specialized. Like today we live in a world of specialty. No one can be a mumch in everything. Everyone, you go to a doctor, is a specialist in this, a specialist in the ankle, a specialist in the toes, a specialist in the fingers, a specialist in this part of the leg. Is there a doctor today that is a mumcha in everything, that understands how the whole body comes together? No. There are doctors that are specialists in women's health and doctors that are specialists in men's health. Doctors specialists in children, doctors specialists in adults, in seniors. There's no such thing as having a person that's able to encompass everything. And the belief of the ancient civilizations were that when it comes to gods, it was even more extreme. There's a God that creates light, and a God that's in control of darkness. A God of the sky, a God of the earth. So here,
That belief actually persisted for a very long time.
Yeah, it still does.
In ancient times.
So this is the same exact thing.
Persisted maybe into the Middle Ages.
This is exactly the same thing. Over here to say that there is a God that has patience is a contradiction in the eyes of the ancients to suggest that there's a God that is vengeful. If there's a God that's noikein, as Pasuk Aleph says, that Hashem is noikim kel, pasuk beis kel kanoi v'noikim Hashem b'bal chema. That is inconsistent and incompatible with Hashem being erech apayim. cannot possibly be. But that's exactly the point. The Ribbono Shel Olam has everything. And not only does he has everything, does Hashem have the extreme opposite, being patient, being noikeim. Hashem knows for each person, each nation, each situation, where the soft spot is. Where is the proper spot of balance? So that's what he writes over here. It's like six lines, seven lines down. Gedol Koyach, on page 540. Gedol Koyach, Bidig Masav, Nakelo Yinakelohem, Limchol Kitzas Rishasam, Beloy Onesh. He's not going to completely forgive them. Hashem is in abundance of power, and Hashem wants to punish, he will punish. And he will not be patient. If their riches is so great, he will punish. Lachein hu maschil linkoi mehem biyod, he begins to punish them right away. V'goyve mehem mispar yimei chayei havleihem. And Hashem demands their life, their life of futility. V'chayem koleh, their life dissolves. V'oinsham loy koleh. But their punishment is net. Look, that's a very poetic expression. Isn't that beautiful? The wicked, their life comes to an end, but their punishment does not. Okay, they are punished in this world. Hashem punishes in this world, and the punishment continues in the next world. Ad shegoyve mehem gam kein acharei moisam. There is punishment in this world, punishment in the next world. V'al sofek noikem Hashem ubal chema. Now regarding the sofek, the sofek means the sipek. Sipek means the ability. Let's see what he says further. Loi dai shehu atzmai noikem ela shemeir libois bnei adam linkoim likmasai. So not only does Hashem himself intervene and punish and bring upon this world disaster, natural disaster, Hashem influences the mind of other human beings to participate in punishing other members of society that are deserving of punishment. So here he explains that point. Omar, b'sufa uvisara darkoi, shederech Hashem la'asais b'zrizos kimoi ruach sara oisa devaroi, l'maher ritzaynai ad mehiro yurutz devaroi. So he writes over here, first he says over here the word, when it's over here, b'sufa uvisara, wind. Wind here means swiftly. L'maher ritzaynai ad mehiro yurutz devaroi. One shot, in 1 second, in a second. It has a connotation of swiftness. L'chein therefore, kiflayim l'sushia is another pasuk. Certainly double for lisushia, for salvation, that Hashem can instantaneously bring punishment. Certainly Hashem can instantaneously bring salvation. Like you say, Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. Okay? Shendoikeim ba'atzmai bi'acharkach al yidei bnei adam. So he explains over here, kimo sufa hu soif ruach mitzuya. It's the end of a natural wind, shepoeles hachetzi mipulas ruach se'ara, which begins shepoeles hachetzi mipulas ruach se'ara shebo'o acharecha kiyodua. So he's saying a very fascinating idea. We have here two words, bisufa uvis ara. Until now, we've read this already 10 times, and every time we've read these two words, we've translated them as basically exactly the same thing. A tempest and a strong wind. Okay, it's nice, it's poetry. Two words which seemingly mean exactly the same thing. Rabbi Avraham ben Agra says they do not mean the same thing. The word sufa is a wind, but it is a natural wind that occurs every single day. And the reason why we call it bisufa is it's the edge, soif. It's the strongest of the natural winds. If you expect, there a hurricane warning, there's category 1, category 2, all the way through category 5. And each hurricane depends, the definition of a hurricane, the best that I understand, depends upon the expectation of how many miles per hour is the wind. If the mile per hour is going to be, I don't know, whatever the exact numbers are, then it's category 1. If the expectation is the winds are going to exceed a certain number of miles an hour, it's category 2. What is the strongest wind that's not called a hurricane? Today, there are high winds. Okay, there are high winds. But does that mean that today's a category? Something like that. So he's saying over here, soif means bisufa. It's a very strong wind, but it's the edge, the tail edge of what we do not call, I'm just making up words now, a hurricane. A hurricane represents something unusual, not expected, unusual. You have to shut down the schools. The governor has to make a decision. Should everyone be evacuated from their homes? You go into a state of emergency. What is the last storm that is a storm? It's not pleasant. You're not going to the beach when there's a storm, but it's not yet called a natural disaster. That is called a sufa. A sufa is the soif of a wind. Let's use the terminology of miles per hour, winds, miles per hour. The last number that we in society will categorize as an unpleasant storm that's not yet in the category of a emergency. That's called a sufa. Uvis ora is hurricane. That's already categorized as an emergency. So he says, so that's what
he says.
It's
kind of putting all these things into two categories, right?
Let's see. That's the next part. Let's see.
Right. Didn't he just say, sometimes he exacts
punishment immediately, and sometimes he delays. Let's see how he follows through.
Yeah.
He first laid out ideas. Now he's going to follow through. And in the process of following through, at least he taught us a very beautiful yesod, a difference between the word sufa and sara. That was worth it just for that. Sometimes when you go to learn a farshim, you don't really fully grasp everything he says, but at least to take out some golden nuggets and put them aside can be worth everything. K'moy sufa.
Mitsuya.
Aruch mitsuya.
The walls in a sukkah, if they can stand
right, up right.
Ruach mitzuya,
right. Then it's a kosher sukkah. If as long as it can stand up to a ruach mitzuya, the sukkah is kosher. Even though it cannot stand up to a ruach she'ena mitzuya. So what is he calling mitzuya? Now, and I'm not even sure you call it mitzuya. Is the word sufa called mitzuya? Sufa means, he says here, it's mitzuya, but it's the soif. It's the outer edge. You're already bordering upon the limit. It's still mitzuya. Okay. K'mo sufa hu soif ruach mitzuya. You write this in Farish. Shepo eles hachetzi mipu'ulas ruach se'ora. It leads in the ruach mitzuya at the edge, the tail edge of it winding up, of it gaining power, is already the entrance to the ruach she'enei mitzuya. Sheboho achareho kiyodua. Okay, I guess everyone in his day and age was scientists. The ruach kiyodua. Everyone knows science. Cain, Darkei Hashem, the Groh is a very big scientist. The Groh, it's clear from all the stories about the Groh, he understood science probably a lot better than we know, than anyone knows today. Cain, Darkei Hashem, Nikmosai Koidemes Sheme Azeres Libois Bnei Adam Linkoim Nikmosai. So he's saying here something very, very interesting. He seems to be saying, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Sa'ara is a metaphor for a human intervention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he opens up the way naturally to allow man to finish off the job. Okay, let's talk about I'm just saying crazy things. Let's talk about Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. He had to get into power. How did Hitler get into power? He got into power derech klal, through natural means. Okay, there were elections. They voted. I mean, it was the Hashkocha Pratis. No one's coming to deny the fact. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was the outer edge of natural. There was a vote, there was opposition, there was whatever, all the stories. That leads in to Sa'ara, and now we have a madman, a nutcase, a Russia, evil man, he's in power, now takes advantage of that power and brings upon the world Chorban. But it started off bisufa, the outer edge of what is normal, what is acceptable, what is correct. This is how he seems to be saying. It's a very powerful idea. The Ribbono Shel Olam, this is his modus operandi. Am I saying that correctly?
Operandi.
His modus operandi is Hashem allows natural things on his own. Hashem begins a natural process. But it's Hashem. He initiates a natural process which allows man to enter at the end of this process and then do crazy things to harm society. When Hashem punishes, it's a combination of the Ribbono Shel Olam's behavior together with man's behavior. The Holocaust, obviously, we are religious Jews, was the Yad Hashem. Yet, who did it? Human beings. So how do you explain that? Well, these human beings, their hatred was there for generations. But society was set up in such a way where Hashem did not allow them to harm us for generations. Then Hashem, we don't understand why, we'll never know why, intervened and allowed a natural process to occur. But that was Hashem's natural process, which put man in position to bring upon us and the world enormous harm. I'm not saying this. Rav Avraham ben Agra is saying this. He's saying that every punishment is a combination. If not for Rav Avraham ben Agra, you wouldn't necessarily say this. You would say man has free will, and Hashem, whenever he wants, he lets man. I think we would say Hashem does not. If Hashem, for whatever reason he wants to punish us, Hashem just lets his guard down. And then it's natural that chaos will erupt. So either Hashem will just send down an asteroid, Minash Shamayim, to destroy us. That's purely an act of God. Or Hashem just stands on the side and lets the natural order of chaos take control. And crazy people, wicked people, cause us harm. Rabbi Avraham ben Agra is saying that's not the pshat. It's not the way it works. Man by himself cannot harm another man unless Hashem first begins a natural process allowing man into that situation. It's not that Hashem just turns aside and there's natural chaos that breaks out. No, Hashem has to pave the road for natural chaos to go forward. Right, so I think he's saying exactly. I think exactly what I'm trying to say. That's how I always understood it, yeah. And I think that's the common way that we understand. We live with the premise.
I think it's all or not.
Okay, no, it's
in certain situations.
Okay, in a chanami, everything is held. But let's try to define it. The definition defines what is the default. A lot of it depends upon that. We are brought up with an assumption. The default of this world is chaos. Chaos. It's a world of chaos. Toyu vavohu. Right. V'ha'aretz ha'yisa sohu vavohu. So if Hashem, and what did Hashem do? Hashem created the sohu vavohu, that's a given. And then Hashem came and made order. All Hashem needs to do in order to punish us is to withdraw. Hashem withdraws just to go away. Hester upon him. Withdraw, I mean by Hester upon him. So when Hashem withdraws, the chaos, the toyu vavoyu that he created in the beginning of time, that dominates, because that's the default.
Because there's a vacuum, and in that vacuum comes chaos,
right. So evil is a natural force, basically. That's really the deep down in our minds, that's what we've been brought up. Toyu vavoyu is just another name for evil, ra. And there are a lot of evil people out there. And if Hashem hides his presence, the evil will naturally dominate and destroy the world. And that's how we understand the Holocaust. We do not know why Hashem, for whatever reason, decided to hide his face. V'anoichi haster aster panai. He conceals himself. Hashem is not present. I mean, that's. I mean, this is not correct. But and then chaos erupts.
To our appearance,
correct. Rabbi Avraham ben Agra appears to be saying that's not correct. I mean, at least sometimes, he's saying, forget about this concept of chaos. Hashem is always in control. maybe when there was creation, it was chaos. But it does not happen that evil is perpetrated in this world without Hashem directing it. Hashem paves the road. Hashem doesn't just withdraw. Hashem brings in a construction company and he paves a beautiful road and sets up all the conditions perfectly so that now man, chaos can erupt. Man can now come and take advantage of all of the mechanism and the road that's been paved to bring harm upon society. That's what he's saying. He's saying before this going, Sa'ora represents man. Man's evil.
Crazy man.
Crazy man, a wicked man. But a wicked man cannot just come in a vacuum. A wicked man can only enter the stage if Hashem first puts presents the Sufa. Hashem sends a strong Ruach Metsuya. There has to be the Ruach. It's not just the regular Ruach Metsuya, it's the Ruach Metsuya that goes to an extreme. That now opens up the path to allow the Sa'ara to enter and bring enormous damage. It's an entirely different hashkafic approach to look at Chorban. It doesn't make a nafgamina. Chorban, Rachmana Litzlan, nothing to laugh about is Chorban. Okay, this is, but in hashkafa, I guess for the big thinkers, it's something which it's challenging to understand. Where was Hashem in the Holocaust? Where was Hashem? So Hashem was right there. What does it mean Hashem was right there? It says in the pasuk, "V'yanochi haster aster panai." So doesn't that mean that Hashem is not there? How do we reconcile all of the various mamari chazal? And it can very well be, you know, different strokes for different folks. Everyone has their approach. Everyone has their hashkafa. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But the Gra here is taking words. And he's saying something very, the son of the Gra, Avraham ben Gra, something very profound, very deep, trying to understand this pasuk. Let's read those words, let's go so further. We're 1, 2, 3. Okay, Kain Darkei Hashem, let's 3 lines from the bottom on the right side, page 540. 3 lines from the bottom. Kain Darkei Hashem, Nikmosei Kodemes, Hashem's Nikomo comes first. What does that mean? Sheme Azeres Libois Bnei Adam Linkoim Nikmosei. Hashem conditions the hearts of man to help him out.
That's the Sipur of Mitzrayim.
Vayichabed Hashem eslave Paro.
Now, how did it start to enslave the people? I gave me permission. Geri yezaracha v'inu etam 400 shana. So he started. I don't know Yosef. I don't know anything. So he started. Gradually, he raises.
Gradually,
till he kills them, and Hashem gives it to him back the same way. First, man, you know, dam, then tzvadeya, and higher and higher.
But Hashem is. There's a hashkocha where Hashem is actually preparing, setting them up, so that they can finish off the job.
That you call Yachol Paro?
I'm paving the road. I am setting up the conditions so that it's not that we went down to Egypt and the Egyptians took over. Hashem in Egypt, he set up the conditions perfectly so that Paro and his people can enslave us and torture us. It's not that Hashem hides and Mimela of Hashem disappears. Chaos breaks out.
They went too far.
Hashem, right, that's an additional factor. Yeah. But Hashem actually creates, he guides on, he delicately nurtures the conditions and the environment so that chaos can do a good job. Chaos can have order.
But I can see it in respect to punishment for something already, for some crime already committed. But
that's what it says. I hear.
But I can't agree with this. L'chatchila, chaos will result in evil. L'chatchila, a vacuum, evil steps into the ki yetzer leiv adam ra'ah minhu ra'ah, and Look at any place where they call a failed state. What happens? What takes over there? So,
a day of rage takes over.
You know the expression, nature abhors a vacuum?
So, okay, chaos, when there's a vacuum, chaos erupts. So you're saying, what you're saying is the standard understanding of Hester Panim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he hides himself. He creates a vacuum. The rules of this world are, when there's a vacuum, there's chaos.
And evil.
There's evil. When an animal dies, when an animal dies, immediately it's surrounded by a billion mosquitoes and rodents and disease.
Chaos does not discriminate between the good people and the bad.
Does not discriminate. When there is a vacuum, the laws of nature have taught us that when there is a vacuum, then there's chaos. We believe that to be true b'hashkocha. When Hashem, when a tzaddik moves aside, what takes the place? Evil. There's a vacuum. The tzaddik is no longer here. Discipline, yashus, Emuna, Yerushalayim, when there's a vacuum, what comes upon that vacuum? Evil, rishus. How does Hashem bring punishment? Hashem leaves.
I'm saying it's a reaction to that evil.
Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra is telling us another mahalach, a different approach. Yeah.
Now, in the beginning of Rishus, you have built
In the beginning of what?
The millennium.
Okay, this millennium. In
2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago.
Which millennium?
Huh?
In which year? The year. Which year? The year 1,000.
Zero.
The year of zero. The Chur Beis Hamikdash. Yes. The time of the Beis Hamikdash.
There
are 12 million Jews. Okay.
This 12 million Jews was all history.
Was what?
All history. It was about the same.
Stayed the same.
Over 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Today there are still...
Today is 14.
14 million. Okay, same number.
But
same.
Before the
First World War.
It was 18 million. Jews. 6 million X.
Okay, the number, you say, okay, so no, nothing has changed. It took us 70 years, those numbers, no one really knows, has clarity in the numbers. But basically, it's already 75 years, and we still have not replenished the number of Jews that existed at the time before the Holocaust.
Before the Holocaust, it was special amount of Jews. It was just 6 million X.
There were more Jews then, before the Holocaust, than there are today.
Yeah, because we're supposed to have 12 million.
It's a constant number, 12 million.
12 million
been there for 2,000
no matter what. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, there were 12 million. And before the war, there were 12 million. And now there's 12 million. There's always a constant.
But before the war, it was 18.
It's 18. Do we really know that? I've read there's only 14 before the war. Okay. All right, whatever it is. I hear what you're saying. But there is this principle of what we understand, the Anoichi Haster Aster Parnai, when Hashem conceals himself, chaos erupts. Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra says it's not a different approach. That's not the way it works. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the definition of Anoichi Haster Aster is Hashem lays, it's not a given that chaos erupts. Chaos needs a road to travel. Chaos needs a mechanism. It needs energy. It needs tools. It needs a system. There is order in chaos. You would love this. Wrap your alley, Michal. This is the morale. That's the morale. The morale holds there's no such thing in this world as chaos. Chaos also has seder. This Avraham ben Hagra is very similar to what a morale would say. Morale's understanding is. There's always order. This is the chut that goes through everything of the maral. Everything in this world, no matter what, has a seder. You may not know the seder, but there is a seder, there's an order to everything. Chaos also has seder. Chaos cannot operate without a plan. There has to be a battle plan. There has to be a mechanism. There has to be a technique. There has to be energy. There has to be tools. Everything must be into place. Where does that come from? So the Ribbono Shel Olam, he meticulously lays out the road. He lays out all of the necessary ingredients, the elements, the energy, the funds, you know, whatever you need to succeed in chaos, Hashem delicately lays out. And then Hashem, okay, now you take over. You take over. Not like we commonly understand, the way Hashem, chaos doesn't need nothing. Chaos is independently wealthy. Chaos has everything it can possibly need to succeed. It does not need Hashem to intervene to prepare all the pieces of the puzzle. Chaos will find whatever, it's very innovative. It will find whatever it needs to get the job done. Because that's what chaos is. Tayyav avo, churban is churban. Evil is evil. Evil can figure everything out. But Amar Negro says, no. Evil is stifled. Evil cannot succeed unless it has the tools that it needs to succeed. Who's giving it those tools? Who's funding terrorism? Okay, they always say, follow the money. Cannot be terrorism unless there's money. Terrorism, you have the biggest rishonim in the world. They cannot cause harm unless they have money. Money, you need money to be evil. That's really what that's. And if you follow the money, you'll be able to make a substantial difference in the fight of terrorism. We understand this today. So Rav Aaron ben Agra is saying that's the same thing. It's not just money.
That doesn't explain the origin and the root of the terrorists.
Kiyetze leif adam ra min uraf. There's a creation in this world of ra. Hashem created ra. Yoitzer or uvoyre ra. It's a pasuk. It doesn't say in the pasuk uvoyre choshech. We substitute the word choshech with the word ra with choshech. Yoitzer or Hashem crafts, he manipulates or uboire ra. Hashem created evil. Very nice. Evil can walk the streets all at once. It can't harm me. Evil needs someone to a sponsor. It needs a sponsor. Are there any volunteers? Anyone want to give a donation? Tax-free donation. Tax-free donation to sponsor ra. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll be your sponsor. I'll give you money, I'll give you food, I'll provide transportation, I'll provide you with politicians, I'll provide you with bridges to nowhere. Whatever you want, I'll sponsor it. This is what Avram ben Agra says. The Sufa is the sponsor of the Se'ara. The Se'ara is chaos. But there's no Se'ara unless you first have Sufa. And Sufa is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a mashal for Hashem's intervention, his meticulous planning to give the Se'ara what it needs. Hashem is there. Hashem is not only there, Hashem actually planned, Hashem made this possible. How can you do that? Hashem, you're a partner in crime. Well, we don't know how these things work. That's the big mystery. Tzadik v'raloi. Hashem, we have emun. Hashem is a God of good. Olam chesed yibaneh. Hashem is kula toiv. And for whatever reason, Hashem punishes us for things that we don't understand. That's all part of emunah.
Let's the other explanation. I understand why there is a small samach. That's the Hester panim.
Okay, what's the Hester panim? That's the Hester panim.
You want? It starts with very little, with something. With the
a samach zira,
small. Small tempest. You know, the smallest.
The
ruach. We don't understand what it is. Ruach kadim suddenly bring arbe, whatever.
And it's in mushrooms.
It starts with a small ellipse. And then it goes sufa and then se'ara.
It starts off very, very small to very, very large. It goes to the soif of what's natural into a sorry into something which is not natural. Okay, that's a very good point. Why is there a small samach? That's something we have to have also. You're saying an idea of why there's a samach. That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Let's finish up over here. Let's go for the very bottom. Yal sofek. Yeah.
It's reminding what you're saying. Nuclear reactor.
Yeah. You split one atom.
Yeah. No, it's a reactor with Isis of
uranium.
And it was the Isis of graffiti. And they are going up and down. If it's up, the action more. If it's down, the action almost stop. The action is always there. You just make it bigger or less. This is how you...
You control. You control the nuclear reactor.
Of course, you control.
The graphite controls it. It sort of buffers it from happening.
So the power is always there.
Always
it's
there.
Always there. Just a question
it's
of. This question of containing it.
Always in this age of glow.
Interesting.
Always.
Always. Chaos is always there. It's not. It's always there. It just has to be suppressed.
Suppressed. More and less.
And when you release the suppression, is where chaos breaks forth.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
It happened here. It's stuck. It's is stuck.
Poof. Energy, nuclear energy, you're saying is just all chaos.
Okay,
it's chaos.
Pure chaos.
Energy is chaos. That's a very interesting concept.
It's
chaos. Chaotic.
I used to stay on the top of the very stage.
Okay, I hear. Okay, this is all very deep, deep things. You're going here way over my head. Kein darkei Hashem nikmosai kodemes shemazeres. This is what it says, the second to last on the bottom, page 540. Shem Hashem's way is the darkei Hashem nikmosai kodemes shemazeres libois bnei adam linkaim nikmosai. Hashem conditions man. Hashem sets up man. Man naturally cannot harm another man. Man needs the tools. He needs help. Hashem is the one that provides assistance. V'al sofek harishayin, shem to'ar l'shnei shemois. Now, I think the sofek, over here, the nikud, they have the word sofek. I'm not sure if this is the correct nikud. I think it means the sipek. Sipek. Sofek means doubt. Sipek means the wherewithal.
Suffice.
This, I think it should really be vowelized. The al sipei karishain, the sipei karishain, shemitoar l'shnei shemais. The first concept of provision. Sipei means like to provide, where Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself intervenes. Shemitoar that is described. L'shnei shemois elu kanoi vinoi came. Omar, to correspond to that, it says at the end of the pasuk, the next pasuk, v'onon avak raglov. Perush explains, ki loy machshavoy sehe machshavoy sai. Gam ha'onon oyle min oretz kumoy shenemar ve'ed yale min oretz. Hashem's ways are not like our ways. A cloud comes from the earth. Male, a mist. Male nisiyim miktzei aretz. It says in the pasuk that Hashem brings clouds from the edge of the earth. Avol kishe hakadosh baruch hu goyzer la'atzor es hashamayim lo yalu nisiyim min aretz. Let's read further. V'yodua sheregel nemar al sibas hadover bedarkei Hashem o bedarkei b'nei adam kmo Yaakov omar es nahalal li'iti l'regel hamalacha. Okay, so he's introducing many concepts here. The word regel means Hashem's Hanhoga, Hashem's ways. V'chein vayivarech Hashem oskol liragli. Yaakov said to Lavan, the only reason why you were blessed was because of me. V'omar kimo she'on. Now what is it's coming to summarize everything together now? Kimo she'onon. Who? Avok. A cloud is dust. Ukitsa siboy sof. And part of it is it's partially from the earth, but partially from the heaven. A cloud is a unique synthesis of earth and heaven. The aid yale min haaretz. An earth, a cloud is a symbol of partnership between Hashem and man. Anan is not a good thing. In this context, Anan here means a cloud of destruction, a cloud of darkness, a cloud of storm, a storm cloud, which will bring with it Churban. Where did that cloud come from? A combination. Mitzad echad, it's in Shemayim. It's not here on earth, it's in heaven. But where did that cloud form from? The aid, the cycle, the water cycle, the aid yale min haaretz. A mist comes forth from the earth. It comes from the earth. The earth is symbolic of man. But the cloud is in the heaven. And it's been guided by Hashem's winds. So it's a partnership. Churban is always done, according to Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, in partnership between Hashem and man. It's not, of course, it goes without saying, sometimes we find, you know, natural disasters that you would assume to be a punishment purely from Hashem. And there are things that we look at in this world as being purely an act of man. A Meshugna goes into a school and shoots everyone. We assume this to be the Ribbono Shel Olam has nothing, that's man's free will. Man is a Meshugna, crazy man, evil man. He goes and he kills people. That's not Hashem's doing. I mean, that's how we look at it today. Rabbi Avraham ben Agra says, look at Churban as a partnership. Just like you can appreciate that a cloud is a partnership of the Eid Yalem in Aretz to produce a cloud, and Hashem sends that cloud where he wants to bring destruction. In essence, every time a person sees in this world suffering, where man brings about suffering, it's no different than a cloud. It's Hashem has brought about the conditions that this can happen through man. It's a shutfis. Let's finish up over here. Hashem's kindness never comes to an end. Kilo yikorei rachum v'chanun. Ki im yinkoim nikmas oy havoy. Hashem will take revenge for the suffering of his beloved ones. I don't fully understand every word here, and I want to try because I want to go further. But I think
what the idea here.
Yeah.
We have discussed with the word safek.
Sip, yeah.
Safek is, no. It's not
doubt.
It's safek.
Doubt,
it's
yeah.
Because there is a contradiction between before Kel Rachum Chanun and Erech Apayim, and then suddenly the Nokem, Kanobe Nokem. So it's contradiction.
Right. So we started.
Safek here. So no. These are midot shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'tzat mi'amidot. We don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he holds it, sometimes he sends it.
So you're using the word safek to mean that there is a contradiction.
From our
perspective, does Hashem have rachmanos or is Hashem noikeim?
Yeah.
There are two different stadim. There's a contradiction.
So he otzer it. Sometimes he otzer it Hashemayim, sometimes otzer it Haaretz, sometimes it's released.
You want to say Savig means from our perspective, we don't understand when does Hashem like this, like this. And the answer is Hashem is both. Mm-hmm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu synthesizes both together. There's a sense, sometimes.
I know what I'm doing. I'm Moshech Bachutim, Ayom Nim Shalom.
Sometimes like this, sometimes like
it's
that.
Like a puppet show.
Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. It all goes back to the Yisrael Hashem is one. Although in our life we see Hashem conduct himself in many different ways, sometimes he's patient, sometimes he's not, sometimes rachum is nidus adin, Hashem appears as a gibor melchoma, or Hashem appears as a loving father, Hashem appears as a zokein, talmud chacham, Hashem echad. Hashem, it's always the same, ribbono shel olam. Okay, and we have this principle of the Sufa and the Se'ara. the partnership and the mashal mm-hmm. that we do also take out of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a cloud. A cloud, where does it come from? It comes from the avak. The Dargoy of Hashem is a non-avak, raglov. Raglov means his way. Darkoy also means there are two different darkoy. There are two different expressions here. No, it says, I'm sorry. Uvisra darkoy. Period. The anon avak raglov. Raglov means his way is his way. It's like the word raglov is basically the same exact thing as the word darkoy. The word darkoy is being repeated twice, according to Rabbi Avram and Agra, and it's a very unique combination. Anon avak. The anon is a product of the eid yale min haaretz, dust. It's not real dust, it's eid, mist. Mist here is being, the word avak is a metaphor for a mist. And the meaning is, a cloud is a combination of the earth and shamayim. That is raglov. That is Hashem's way. Hashem's, you have blessed me, like in the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, liragloi. It's because of my derech. The way of Hashem is to have man participate with him in bringing korban upon this world. Don't view it to be purely man's free will being exercised. Do not view it as purely a punishment, an act of God. You have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a partner with man. That's Hashem's way. That's how Hashem made this world. Hashem made this world that He uses human beings to be the instruments of bringing korban and punishment to this world. Sometimes the korban is for our benefit, to punish our enemies. And Rachmana Litzlan, sometimes the korban is to punish us for reasons that we will never understand. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Dalet, new Pasuk, new ideas, new Yisoides. Pasuk Dalet says, Goyer Bayom Vayabish Sheil. This is very good, coming up to Parshas next week. Parshas Beshalach, Kriyas Yamsof. Hashem shouts at the Yam, Vayabish Sheihu, and Hashem caused it to dry. V'nei Yisrael Holchu V'soch Hayom Bayaboshah. That's a very important word. It was completely dry. There was no mud. Because in this world, what do we mean by that word? Because it's a very important point. In this world, there are situations where the Yam splits naturally. Tsunamis. You can have a tsunami. A tsunami can produce the equivalent of a Kriyas Yamsuf. And there are other conditions. There are certain types of... There are certain rocks. I saw a picture of this, an incredible, incredible thing. There are certain areas in the ocean, even after today, you go in Egypt, it's in that book that my mayor gave me from, what was his name again? Where is Har Sinai? This I never saw something like this. This blew my mind. There's a certain body of water. And in the body of water, if you look at it, you look at the body.
Underwater bridge?
Yeah, water bridge. It's called water bridge?
We have one right over here in Maine, in Ball Harbor.
Okay, when ships travel, they have to navigate. They have to do radar to make sure they're not going to crash. Because there are certain places where the earth goes straight up. And the truth is, you can walk on water. Your mamash walk on water. If you look at a person, he looks like he's walking on water. Little do you realize, if you take one step this way, you'll drown. Goes down 100 feet, but this particular area where he is, the earth has come all the way up. Bloom. And he shows that one of the places, he has this theory, that one of the places that where Kriyas Yamsuf may indeed have taken place is a water bridge, where basically, if you go there today, it looks like the Yam. And if you step over here, you'll drown. You can go, it goes 100 feet down. But if you step over here, you can actually walk on the water. And if there's just a strong wind, if it's a day when there's a strong wind and the wind is pushing the tide, it can actually clear that area and you can actually walk across without getting wet. It's an incredible phenomenon. Now, is that Kriyas Yamsuf? Was that really what happened? Very unlikely. But one of the critical words that is very important to discuss is that it was dry. Because today, scientifically, if we bring in some experts, they can tell you that naturally can happen such a thing, what would appear to be Kriyas Yamsuf. And there are people out there in the world who try very hard. I don't know if this is a correct hashkafa. Maybe it's apikorsis, maybe it's not. I am Panim LaTorah.
To try to find a natural way. As opposed to a miraculous
way. Now, there's no question about it. The timing is miraculous. The hashkocha pratis.
And that's the flaw of Velkonsky and the others who tried to posit that all these things are natural, not miraculous.
But I am Panim LaTorah. What exactly is called a miracle? It's not necessarily apikorsis, these ideas. It's not the way, certainly not the way we were brought up. We were brought up.
It's not the way they presented it.
That it was an open, blatant miracle. The Yam split, and we walked through 12 different lanes, okay, tunnels, and there was food growing out, the trees.
And
what? It doesn't say that. It says in the Midrashim. So what did the Midrashim mean? That's subject to discussion. They went in a semicircle. They went straight. Where was the Yam? It's not in the Torah. We have a Messiah. They were open, blatant miracles. There are people that are not enamored with this approach. They try to show in science there are certain things that can happen naturally, that we understand through the laws of science, and it's possible that such an occurrence happened. Now, even they admit the timing that this event took place exactly when Klal Yisrael happened to be at the Yam is impossible. But it's natural. It's natural. The timing, you happen to be there in this place at that time. We all know in our own lifetimes, timing is everything. Timing is everything.
What I said, it was a cool night of a strong wind. It's in a tour.
Right.
So if
right. That helps this approach that the Ruach Azo Kodim, Kol Halayla, it produced a certain result. Okay, exactly. There is one word that you cannot ignore, which, you know, everyone likes to have a theory and pick and choose and say things, but there's a word you cannot ignore. Uvinei Yisrael holchu bayabosha b'soch hayam. The word bayabosha means dry land. Now, these ideas, which I'm not saying they're wrong, I don't know anything. The proof is upon them to explain what it means bayabosha.
The pasuk says it.
Right, the Pasuk says it.
Azo,
kol halayla, dry, the ruach, the plain ruach. Can that occur naturally? Today we know we have a lot. There's a lot of science, but a lot of the science does not answer all the questions in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says lecharava, bayabasha. These are very powerful words. Scientists today can take you out, I don't know, to some remote island and show you some amazing things, but I don't have all the details. They're not going to be able to show you lecharava. They're not going to be able to show you bayabasha. They'll be able to show you vayiboku hamoyim. They'll show, look at that, the water splits. Yeah, wow, pretty good. They should give you a whole wheel. We saw vayiboku hamoyim that there's a molecular, you know, the miracles, molecular split of water, an atom bomb, right? And the molecular, they tell you all these interesting. We have emuna. If that's what it is, that's it. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. That's the way it goes. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. If you have a scientific theory that fits into the pasuk, fine. But you got to answer everything. You can't just provide a scientific theory that leaves you hanging somewhere in the middle. If you can show me an equivalent of Boko Hamayim, you have to explain to me, and does that produce a result of lecharava? Does that produce b'soch hayam bayabasha? Sometimes they can't go all the way. The mun. I have read this amazing article about the mun. There is natural mun in this world. Mun can actually, the food that can fall out of heaven, that the wind can bring. There is something that is equivalent to, if you read in the Torah, mun, there is a natural phenomenon of what you, if you want to push it into the pasuk, it's not miraculous. How could you say that? Chazal say it was lechem abirim, it was food of angels, there was no waste, and every person, the man came right to, depending on his matzah. If he was a tzaddik, he came to his front door. If he was a benoni, he had to go for a little bit of a walk. If he was a rasha, he had to go for a hike. How do you reconcile the Mamori Chazal, which we are maminim, our fathers did not lie to us. We trust that our parents were good people. We trust them. Right? My father didn't lie to me. And my father's father didn't lie to him. And his father's father didn't lie to him. And we go all the way back to the Har Sinai, 600,000 people, men, over the age of 20, and 3 million people, including men, women, and children, all together witness the Ribbono Shel Olam come down and say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So Emuna and Mesorah count for quite a bit. Okay, they...
As
Piha, what does that mean?
That at that second,
yeah,
it opened.
That second, it was meant. The timing. Okay, timing. That's an approach. That the timing. Many of these scientists, who are good people and religious people, and want to show all of these things, they're saying the miracle is not the physical reality. The miracle is the timing. That's the miracle. You want to talk about nisim in this world? Ein chodosh tachas hashemesh. We live in a world of nature. Miracles don't happen. That's not the way Hashem made the world. Hashem did not give us a Torah of hocus pocus. Hashem gave us a Torah to deal with nature. Everything can be explained in the natural world. Miracles are all about timing. Okay. That's an approach. That is an approach. But one thing I can tell you for sure, in the Hasidic yeshivas, they don't say that. They don't go for that. And in the Litvish yeshivas, they don't go for that either.
But it's not a movie.
What?
It's not a movie.
It's not a movie. It's right. It's real.
Something was real.
Okay.
After the event. So after the event, you can...
We were all affected by it.
Okay. Event is event.
Okay, we don't know. We don't know exactly.
You can say this is like this. It's not a movie.
After it happened. It's written years after it actually happened. Okay, so these are all ideas. In this pasuk we have here a very important word, Goyer Bayam Vayabishayu. Hashem shouts at the yam, and it dries. V'chol ha-nehoros hecheriv, all of the rivers also, of charava. There are two words that have to be defined, the difference between yoivesh and chorev. Umlal boshon v'charmel, umlal means it's cut down. It's cut down the boshon, these are parts of Eretz Yisrael, the boshon, the charmel, Uferach levanon umlo. The word is repeated. Ferach means a flower. And the perach, the flower of the levanon, which is a beautiful part of Eretz Yisrael, is going to be cut down. Three different parts of Eretz Yisrael. Boshon, Carmel, and levanon. Three regions. Three separate regions. And besides the regions, we have the Yam and the Nahar, which gives us a total of five different locations, five different items. The Yam, the Nahar, and the Nahar is in Lashon Rabbim, Bashan, Carmel, and Livanon, each one gets its own word. With regard to the Yam, the word is Yoivesh. With regard to the Nahar, it's Chorev. With regard to the Bashan, Carmel, it is umlal, and with regard to the perach of Livanon over here, it's not just the Livanon, it's the perach of Livanon. We are repeating the same word of umlal, and to understand this deeper, we'll have to wait until tomorrow. Okay, we got some good stuff today in Sefer Chasidim. some very practical things today.
My son told me that Shirat Hayam, Pasuk Acharon.
Tune in tomorrow.
Yes, I was going to say Hayam. Hayam.
Today is the Yahrzeit of Moshe Sasseber.
Water on the side, right?
The Baba Sali.
Bnei Yisrael from the Yabasha Betov. My son, it's in, written like this in Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
Also,
yes, this year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, listen, this posse, you should know. Yeah. Unbelievable. This most people hold, you know, is machlokes, the Rambam, the Ramban, and I'm not sure. This pasuk, we don't read, we don't sing this pasuk. Yeah. According to most Rishonim, the Shira ends, Hashem Yimoch Liyolam Roed. Question, why then is this still written in the Tzura of the Shira? And why?
There's a Shira in Tfila at 7:15 tonight.
He was once a cipher. He wanted very, very much. He tried to convince all the ciphers to stop writing this like a shiur. They should make the line after Hashem books, start writing it regularly. I think the Chassam cipher told him, you write.
The scale of winds is called the Buford scale.
This is the Messiah.
Hurricane started at 74 miles an hour.
Don't make trouble.
Moderate wind is 20 to
20
years.
The story is that something happened to him.
You got my
yes, thank you very much. Thank you.